Well, today it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Bill Lidler, and we've had the privilege of having him on for a couple of times already in the last year. And clearly he is the expert, quintessential expert in the new world of multiplexes and what you can do and what you can't do in the British Columbia, the province allowing the sixplex on almost every single lot and all of those wonderful things. Takes a lot of clarification and thinking, and you've been at this now for a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what Lidler does.
Lidler Capital funds builders as limited partnership passive equity to share in the development profits.
Well, that's pretty good. So you teach also, you teach realtors on how, I heard you say once that the time that you can waste pursuing the wrong opportunity, and particularly this area of the business, is immense, because what should I put on there? Which municipality should I do it? What are the rules on, and so on?
We go through the 17 Metro Vancouver cities that updated their zoning bylaws. We still only have 2.5 cities that we would feel comfortable investing our capital into.
Because they said what they want and what they expect, and it's reasonable. Which one would that be? Would it be Burnaby and...
Burnaby, Vancouver, and potentially Port Moody, although it only gets a half point because we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is that by the end of this year, all municipalities have to update their official community plan to comply with the new transit-oriented areas, the Bill 47.
It's a new critical information, not only for condo developers or homeowners who own properties in those transit-oriented areas. And as you know, those are the 800-meter rings around SkyTrain stations, West Coast Express stops, and bus loops. But what we now are starting to run into at cities is it's affecting the development feasibility of our multiplexes and small-scale multi-unit housing.
Yeah, because there you can build higher buildings or more footprint and less parking and all of those new rules and regulations.
And cities are starting to say we won't allow multiplexes or small-scale multi-unit housing in any areas where we have higher density in the land use plan, which is beyond
the owners. The owner is ready to add 6 units. That's not good enough. He's got to build.
No. We've even seen now even a townhouse designation outside of the TOA could limit the development potential to a multiplex.
Well, look, you have some taglines. You say, help more grandkids live closer to their grandparents. So explain that one.
We've been fortunate. My wife and I, we have a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And we live within 5 minutes from my parents' home in Port Moody and drop by after work and in the mornings on the weekend before we go out for our day. And have my wife's side of the family, her mom lived in Langley. And as much as we want to see them the same amount of time, the difficulty of loading 2 kids into the car, driving through traffic, getting out to their place, and then coming back home, it just leads to less visits. So we believe if we can create downsizer homes in the communities that the residents have lived in, true downsizer homes, what they want, not condos with strata fees. They all would prefer to have ranchers. We can't do ranchers, but we can do nice 2-story homes with 1-level staircase up to a nice master bedroom, or new family-oriented homes that families can afford. They can move out of their condo into a front door, garage, backyard. It'll create more opportunities for families to stay closer together, increasing the connections between generations.
And that makes sense because you're putting a lot more density. So you naturally have people living closer, and who better than the family itself. Now you're using the term SSMUH. What does that stand for?
SSMUH is the province's definition of multiplex. Small scale multi-unit housing refers to the mandates that required cities to allow for 4 to 6 units on former single family and duplex properties.
So what's the difference between that and a regular condo development?
Well, in terms of build form, typically the small-scale multi-unit housing are 3-story, either duplexes, townhomes, or in some cities, they let you do three or four story condo buildings. Condos are obviously condos. You either have the residential six story or a mixed use six story or high rise. But the biggest difference and why I sold majority of my condo land in Coquitlam and I'm not going back to building a six story building in Port Moody is that the province required these 4 to 6 units developments to be pre-zoned by cities.
Okay.
So significantly reducing approval timelines from 5.5 years, what I went through in Port Moody, to now we're getting building permits issued within 6 months of buying the property.
That makes sense. I'll be the money is the cost, you know, by 5 years waiting with your investment capital that eats into any kind of a profit you were going to make. Now, you've been raising capital in probably one of the toughest times to raise capital. How's that going?
Hard, much. I knew it was going to be hard. We launched our capital corporation. I knew it was going to be difficult, but it was more challenging than I initially thought. We are proud to say we've raised our first $1 million that will close our first project. And we were surprised by the number of investors were mostly other builders mm-hmm. who are placing a bit of money with us to participate in this asset class, to learn with us and to benefit from the profits. Most of the investors who had never participated in real estate development saw too much risk in the market and decided to pass, which is fair enough.
But actually, you know, the numbers, depending if everything is okay with the city and the timeline and all that, it could be a nice investment, and you're not having everything invested in, say, 20, 30 stories and with all the trouble that can go on. But what you need to figure out now is, has the city's land value changed due to this new zoning requirements?
We have seen that in some cases. And just to go back to those retail investors, I'm personally investing in these projects, and we're making the personal decision to invest in these projects in this market. And when you think about it, like the stock market, you don't want to buy at the top of the stock market. You want to buy at the bottom of the stock market. So I'm much more concerned about our business model when the market takes off and we have to overestimate revenues, shorter condition timelines, shorter closing days.
Yeah.
I'm much more concerned about the viability than today, where we have long closing dates, long feasibility, and we're discounting our revenue significantly with much more upside than we typically would have.
And the city also is on your side now. All of a sudden, we have no construction going on. I mean, we did a radio show with Michael Campbell this morning, and my God, we went across the country, and places like Hamilton have an 80% decline in construction. Toronto is at 69%. And going right across the country, whether single family or condos, the market has slowed, primarily because we're in a very psychological world right now. And while we were psychologically into FOMO 4 years ago, you know, everything was too cheap. Well, now it's the opposite. And today is maybe the time people should look at it in terms of investment. So how many applications do you think have been submitted over Metro Vancouver?
We've seen 400 tracked 4 to 6 unit applications in Vancouver. We expect and estimate that there's between 200 to 300 already submitted in Burnaby. So 700 applications in Vancouver and Burnaby, and then a variety of others in the surrounding municipalities.
Interesting. So a lot of people are game.
Definitely. 700 builders have decided that this is the right opportunity for them and their business.
Well, the thing is, now I own my own house. I'm thinking, I hear about all these six flexes, and I wouldn't mind making some money. And maybe I'm of the age where I don't have to go to work, so I have some time. But when I look at it all, it seems to be a lot of things that you have to know, right, in order to really make the right kind of decision. So that's where you come in. So I would be an investor, be better off to partner with you and your capital corporation rather than do it directly with a builder. Let's say I'm a builder and I know my buddy is a builder, and we'll let him do it.
Laidler Capital acts as a fiduciary for the investors. Mm-hmm. So if you invest directly with the builder, then the builder will be working. You're completely passive. If the builder wants to rent the units out, you have no voting rights. You're passive. If the builder needs to call more capital, you're completely passive and you're invested with that builder and whatever the builder's decision-making is. Typically, unless you come under the general partnership and you sign on the debt, if you want to be a limited partner and you want to passively invest, you have no voting rights with most builders.
Right.
With Laidler Capital, when you invest with Laidler Capital, we negotiate with the builders to ensure that we have voting rights, that if they're over budget, delayed on their timelines, or want to make a change to the business model that we decided to fund them on, they have to come back to our investment committee, which includes Mike Saba with Bancorp Financial. And we have to work collaboratively to find the solution to protect the investor's interests as a true independent fiduciary.
I think that's so important because, you know, a lot of us have made some money, but to be sure to, you know, I'm talking right now, I want the return of capital, number one. So that means protection, right? Before I look for return on capital, right? So it is a crazy world that we're in, but governments seeing now, I mean, in total, the governments have created budgets, or rather we don't have a federal budget, but we certainly know a lot of spending going on. And that's based on the fact that we have X amount of houses built and properties built. And I mean, our real estate, we are dependent on real estate. There's some $6 billion in Ontario right now that's not going to be earned if we keep on these low kind of volumes. If we're 80% decline in sales, my God. You know, in Vancouver, we sold 15,500 sales at June 25th, that year before. At June 2021, we have sold 15,500. And June 30th, 2025, we only sold 6,800. And the condos were 21,000 and now they're 12,000. So we have seen a massive crash in sales, right? So the banks should be happier right now because they have also had a massive crash in business. So then people saying, oh, I'm too scared to go to my bank, don't. You know, they like you, particularly if you have an RSP that you can move or your checking account and ask for it and haggle for it. As a buyer, this is really your time to do it. But you got to get off on the right foot. And I think that's where I think you come in. You've been at this as a pioneer, I guess, you know, for a while. You did it yourself. You're investing your own money. This is what, look, whenever I sell, my real estate company sells some condominiums, I'm the first one in the door. If I like the development and I like the builder, I'm the one that puts that first condo in. My partner, we bought 5 units in a building, right? Because we liked it. Then our advisors say, okay, I know Ozzy doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but he's putting his own money on the line. And that's what you want when you have some sort of a partnership going forward in this kind of a thing. I mean, it blows me away that in Toronto now, they just announced it will allow 4 to 6 units on former single family homes.
Nor North America, city by city, Seattle's adopted it, New Jersey's adopted it, as you said, Toronto's adopted. It's already been in Alberta. It makes sense. Environmentally, we're stopping urban sprawl. Mm-hmm. We're containing our development where we've already clear-cut land and we're protecting the forests on the outer edges. So not only is it environmentally beneficial, but we already have the infrastructure here. We've already built the sky trains. We already have most of the sewers and water lines centralized. So keep the developments closer to where the centralized treatment facilities are.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. And clearly we do need the accommodation. Clearly we need to come into some sort of affordability. And so maybe the governments for once will be totally right by having forced us into this new world. But so what we should watch out for this year is, no matter what municipality you're in, what are the rules? And you'll know more by the end of the year when they have to have the official community plan done. And so then you know. But what you really know is somebody's by your side. And so what is your recommendation for any homeowner considering the development of their own property?
Previously, when the cities did land use changes, they would take small rezoning areas and they would allow the developers to build in a very low supply area of land. And all the builders would bid on top of each other, push the land values up. And that's when we saw homeowners sell a standard lot for $3-5 million plus to a developer who could build development. In a world of pre-zoning where every property is able to do the same thing, the appreciation in the land value is not being recognized. That doesn't mean that there's no profits there. It just means that a builder can buy a house next door for $2 million, even if there's profit to buy it at $2.5 million. The builder's going to go to the lowest priced option. The builders have more options now, and that's why we haven't seen land values appreciate, although we are buying for $2 million, but we have had appraisals go up to $2.6 million in Burnaby.
I mean, that's what costs go up primarily because of land costs, you know, and we have seen now some of the largest land holdings in Vancouver and in the Lower Mainland and Ontario, the values on land have dropped dramatically because the numbers don't make sense. You know, Anne from UDI, she was making the point that the costs of government and the costs of the land, everything has become so expensive that maybe we're just going to wait this one out for a while. No? So what are some of the final words you have for our listeners? What should they do? They shouldn't be scared. They should have somebody by their side. And all real estate is good real estate.
Well, yeah, the homeowner, you will not be able to sell your property for full development value because there's too many options out there. But you can participate with a builder and still recognize that potential. You cannot be passive. You have to be active in some ways. So there's three ways to add value to your property price. One is you can do the development yourself if you have the skill set and the ability. The second is we can pay higher prices for land if the homeowners are willing to give longer closing dates. Mm-hmm. It reduces our investment timeline from 2.5 years to 18 months, significantly boosting the return on equity for the investors. Mm-hmm. Or third, the homeowner can become partners in the development project, sell the property to the builder, take some of the proceeds out of land closing, and then leave some of the money in and earn a 16% annual return on that investment.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense to me. What if I'm a realtor and I want to learn something? You have an academy.
We have the Laidler Academy that has now trained over 3,000 real estate professionals in the last 12 months. And the top performing realtors, builders, developers, investors have participated in the multiplex intensive. 3 days in person where we go through acquisition strategy, where to find the most profitable opportunities, how to price those homes using the residual land value pro forma, complete a feasibility study, and then set up your corporate structure to either do a partnership with a homeowner, to raise money from investors, and to complete your own development project.
Sounds like a plan to me. So if people want to get a hold of you, I can put your link down below if you look below the video. And if you want to get a hold of Bill, just and you listen to it on the podcast, just go to ozbuzz.ca and you can see it all there underneath the video.
Ozzy, we wouldn't be here without you. I really appreciate the time that we've spent together on these Zooms, adding value to the marketplace. And thank you very much for your support.
Well, thanks for coming in, because I tell you, I'm always amazed at how much detail you know. And I have dealt with cities all my life, and you need the detail because before you don't want to be surprised halfway through. So thanks.
The devils are in the details.
Yeah, always.
As you said.
Good to see you and all the best. Take care.
Thank you, Ozzy.